So today, let's start with our biblical text. And we're going to start pretty close to the beginning. I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. And I'm reading from, I've mentioned this Bible before, the Inclusive Bible. If you've not picked up a copy, I really would encourage you to do so. I think that that it stays really true to the original text, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic. I think they do a really good job with it. But they also take the context that it was written in mind. And then the context is being read in mind. And so we get a lot more inclusive language than we might have in other interpretations. So Genesis 1, 24 through 27. Then God said, "Earth, bring forth all kinds of living soul, cattle, things that crawl, wild animals of all kinds." And so it was. God made all kinds of wild animals and cattle and everything that crawls on the ground. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us. Let them be stewards of the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle and the wild animals, and everything that crawls on the ground." And humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them. Female and male, God made them. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. So, just cutting right to the chase. The powers that be have been pulling our nation apart for far too long. Rather than reminding us that we are more alike than different, they divide us. They divide us by turning minuscule differences into mountains of separateness. And you can see it clearly in just looking at the election results and the responses varying to them. It's my hope that our new leadership will prioritize knitting the nation back together, prioritize unifying us rather than dividing us. Prioritize truth, justice, and equality rather than fanning the flames of falsehoods, injustice, and inequality. And only time will tell if they will do that or even if they can do that. But I can't help but think it sure wouldn't hurt to put some time into thinking about our likeness. So today, my talk is about namaste. My message is called A Namaste Perspective. So, namaste. Namaste is an ancient Sanskrit word that essentially means the divine in me honors the divine in you. From a kind of purely linguistic perspective, my first degree was in English, so I can't help this bit. Sorry. Nama actually means bow. As means I, and then te means you. So, therefore, namaste literally means bow me you or I bow to you. But the larger meaning of the word is it's much greater than the simple concept of humbling yourself before someone, even though that's certainly part of it and important nowadays to learn to be humble. It seems to me that it can sometimes be helpful to find a succinct phrase that captures particular spiritual teachings. It makes it sort of easy just to hold on to and you know, carry around with us without the need of memorizing some long string of spiritual battle. Now, that's it. It's important to keep in mind that There is more to namaste than what we can fit in to the side of a coffee mug or a bumper sticker. Namaste encapsulates the understanding that we are all one. It highlights the reality that beneath the outward appearance that make you seem to be different from others, you are made of the same stuff. Or as Carl Sagan would put it, we are all made of star stuff. Or as singer-songwriter Pink once said, we all bleed red. We all cry clear tears on this endless search for the meaning of life and love. Basically, we're all more the same than we are different. Now, tantric philosophy teaches that everything that exists is one divine consciousness that longs to experience itself in different forms. Judaism and Christianity hit at that reality and telling us that we are each made, as we heard this morning in the text, made in the image of God. And unfortunately, it is in our human nature to forget this truth, that every person, thought, feeling, and experience is an perfect expression of the one divine awareness. Well, when a being does forget by feeling separate or less than or better than and so on, well, then it suffers. The teachings say that one of our highest spiritual goals should be simply remembering who you are. By saying namaste, well, saying it while understanding what it fully means and meaning everything that it says, by saying it, you're saying that you see others for what you actually are. And tantric teachings would say that is an affirmation of the choice to identify with the God consciousness rather than with the ego, which tells us that we are somehow superior or inferior to any other person on this planet. It is a conscious choice. It's a conscious choice to take this spiritual perspective sort of into the laboratory of life. Ask yourself, what would life be if you saw others as perfectly whole? What if you saw yourself as perfectly whole? The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 29, puts it this way. The man whose self is disciplined in yoga, whose perception is the same everywhere, sees himself in all creatures, and all creatures in himself. In his translation of the thousand-year-old tantric spiritual text called The Recognition of Sutras, scholar Christopher Wallace describes how this understanding might affect your approach to life. Saying, once you become aware of the true nature of reality, everything you do becomes an act of reverence. Simply living an ordinary daily life with full awareness becomes a complete practice of meditation, a perfect form of worship, an offering to all beings and to being itself. Tantra teaches, he says, that because there is only one capital O in the universe, all actions are in truth the divine exploring itself, reverencing itself, worshiping itself. Now, many people are familiar with the idea of Christ within. Well, in Hinduism's premier holy text, which we just spoke of, the Bhagavad Gita, I'm bad with words, particularly ones that I don't get to use that much. In it, we have the idea that Krishna within. And then the Quran tells us that Allah is, quote, closer than your jugular vein. And the Buddhist scriptures, well, they talk about the Buddha within. Correspondingly, in the Adi Granth, which is the Sikh holy text, it says that the one God is all-pervading and alone dwells in the mind. Though many, many religious people know the idea that this thing we call God, it is to be found within them. most folks seem to imagine that somehow it's only a small and divided piece of God that is inside them, or that all it really means is that there's some aspect of God within us. However, these passages I read in the scriptures for some of the world religions also clearly state not only that God is indeed within us, but also that God is undivided, indivisible, and always one. For instance, this idea clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 17, saying, although the super soul, which is code for the God within, although the super soul appears to be divided, he is never divided. He is situated as one. A French idealist, philosopher, and Jesuit priest, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, put it this way. We are not human beings that have a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or as C.S. Lewis once wrote, there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. The reality is that it is somewhat surprising that more people don't live life with this namaste perspective. As you already heard, most spiritual practices have some form of it. Many cultures do as well. The Hawaiian greeting that we all know, aloha. Actually, you know, we think of it as hello or goodbye. Well, it has a similar meaning to namaste. One interpretation of aloha actually means I bow to you. The light within me honors the light within you. The Zulu people, South Africa's largest ethnic groups, and their greeting, sawubona, which is actually used now by many in South Africa, not just the Zulu. Sawubona means I see you. And that the culturally appropriate response is Ngihona, which means I am here. Now, unfortunately, translating from one language to the other, it can frequently lose some of the implied meaning. But integral to the Zulu greeting and response is the sense that until you saw me, I didn't exist. By recognizing me, you brought me into existence. A Zulu folk saying clarifies this, Ubuntu, Nigamuntu, Nagabuntu. Yeah, y'all know what that it translates as a person is a person. And because of other people. It's such an intriguing, and I'd even argue positive concept. It's even made its way into fiction and into entertainment. And in the 2009 blockbuster Avatar, hit Avatar, the Na'vi, who were the inhabitants of the fictional moon of Pandora, they used the greeting, Oel Nakti Kamai. Or I see you. And as the Na'vi explained in the film, I see you doesn't imply ordinary seeing. Instead, like namaste, this really means the God in me sees the God in you. Or I see myself in your eyes. So when you try to put all of this together, I end up with personally three key components to practice namaste. First, we need to come from a place of understanding that we are made in the image and likeness of something larger than ourselves. Many folks call this God. And that our true essence is in one way or another divine. Or as Muhammad put it, whoever knows himself knows God. Then second, we recognize that truth for each other, that truth is for each other. Not just some each others, but all each others. And then three, finally, and I would argue most importantly, we not only recognize that reality, but we act on it accordingly. When we come from a consciousness of namaste, we want nothing less than to honor, to bless, to appreciate, to serve, and to love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that when one suffers, we all suffer. Science has even begun to hint at might be a scientific way of pointing to this as well. It may be more than just some a theologically and philosophically sound perspective. It's actually beginning to look like it's a biologically sound perspective as well. The phenomenon that I am alluding to is called quantum entanglement. Don't let the word scare you away. I'm going to break it down real simple. But basically, it seems to be suggesting that the entire universe is really unified and inseparable oneness. And entanglement's the quantum mechanical property where if two photons occupy the same point and same space at the same point in time, then they essentially become a single unified whole. And then further investigation revealed that a phenomenon that's called non-locality. It's much more simple than it sounds. What they found was that these two photons that have been entangled by occupying the same space at the same point can actually influence each other instantaneously, even if they're both located at the opposite ends of the universe. Though separated in space, they seem to have this instant communication with one another, as if they were still one single entity. It makes Carl Sagan's perspective that we are all star stuff all the more intriguing, all the more. The Big Bang singularity suggests that the entire universe occupied the same point in space before the bang. And as we just heard, quantum entanglement tells us that when quantum particles occupy the same space, they become permanently entangled, able to impact each other without regard to space and time. So every single atom in the universe is entangled with every other atom. Pretty powerful. I mean, logically, I have to deduce then that even though it all started with the Big Bang, expanded and distributed its matter across the universe, it also exists in a single, unified, inseparable whole. We are all star stuff. We are inextricably connected. The universe and me can see the universe in you, the divine in me, can see the divine in you. We have a lot of work to do, and a namaste perspective, even when those whom we disagree, is exactly the kind of thing we should begin for the healing of our nation and of the world. So, I say to you, namaste, aloha, sau bona. I see you. Let's take a moment and bow our heads. Join me in prayer or a reflection, a devotion, or let the words fill the space and grab hold of the ones that have meaning to you. Good and gracious God, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Sadly, we seem to spend most of our time defining how others are not like us, implicitly regulating them to something that is less respectable, less correct, less worthy, less acceptable than us. We create the divisions based on false standards that we've created ourselves without seeing that we created the standards in part to reinforce the divisions, and the maddening circle continues. We bracket out the teachings of Jesus, telling us to love one another, even those we may consider enemies. We bracket out the world's prophets, telling us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. We bracket out the reality that as spiritual descendants of Abraham, we are to be a blessing to the earth. Not simply by our existence, but rather through our actions, through our interactions, through our love. We do not simply seek forgiveness for the times that we fall short. We make a pledge, a promise, a covenant to work more diligently towards being the people we are called to be, the people we are created to be. May we be strengthened in our efforts. May we be encouraged in difficult times. May we stand firmly as we stand together. And may we see the divine in all people. May we be inspired toward a more loving way of life. Amen.